Now, all this week on LBC, I've been focusing around this time every day on child abuse and sex offenders. The scale of the problem is huge. That interim report from the Child Sexual Abuse Inquiry I mentioned is making that even more clear. Based on government figures, 1,183 children a day in the UK are sexually abused. The National Crime Agency said a few years ago that there are 750,000 men in the UK with a sexual attraction to children. Yesterday, we heard from David, who explained his attraction to children and how therapy was helping him to stop acting upon it. Well, Simon Bailey, we heard as well, Chief Constable of Norfolk Police, National Police Chief's Council Lead for Child Protection, telling us on Monday that the police service is dealing with an unprecedented volume of reports of child sexual abuse. And the phrase he used that stays in my mind is, we can't arrest our way out of this, which is why I want to focus all week on what therapy can achieve when people have a sexual attraction to children. One of the very few organisations in the UK working to stop such offending is StopSo. They work with sex offenders and people who admit to having a sexual attraction to children and teenagers. David, who we spoke to yesterday, is being helped by them right now. They also work with the families of sex offenders as well, who have to come to terms with being related to a sex offender. And they work with victims of sexual abuse too. Their chair, Juliette Grayson, says we need to radically change how we treat paedophiles. I started by saying to her that the argument that a paedophile needs help and treatment rather than just punishment is not one that yet garners much sympathy.
No, we're really going to have to change the public perception of this, because obviously everyone demonises these people. And actually what we should be doing is demonising what they've done and separating out their behaviour from who they are. Because a lot of them really don't want to be doing it, and they really want help to stop. And they've been contacting StopSo, asking for that help. We've had 1,400 people contacting StopSo so far, and half of those have contacted us in the last year. So the numbers of people that are contacting us is increasing week by week, month by month, as people get to hear that we're available. And they're reaching out, asking for help, so that they don't do this, and they want to stop, they want help, and it's ridiculous that it's not available.
Is it an illness? A brain disorder, a mental illness, a social disorder?
I think it fits under the mental illness category. It seems that some people are born that way. So I think of it like a continuum, and at one end you have people who are attracted to adults, and at the other end you have people who are attracted to children, and along the way you have people attracted to children and adults. And for those people, they can be changed back to being attracted to adults. So if you're three quarters of the way along that continuum, and maybe you've been used to looking at pornography, and then you start looking at child pornography, child abuse images, and get hooked onto those, with treatment and help, you can get translated back to being attracted to adults again.
To a lot of ears, and I'm going to include mine actually, that might sound a little bit like I can un-gay you.
But there are the people at the far end of the spectrum who can't change. So just as some people who are gay are bisexual and they do change, there are others who...
Change or make a choice?
Well, make choices. And that's what we're asking paedophiles to do. People who are sexually attracted to children have to make the choice not to act on their attraction. And, you know, you and I and people in the street, we meet people who we're attracted to. It doesn't mean we're going to have sex with everybody. And the same is true for people who are attracted to children. They can make the choice. And that's what we have to help them do. Manage their desires and make pro-social choices rather than anti-social choices.
By and large, when people hear the word paedophile, my guess is that they think adult man.
Mm-hmm.
But very young children are contacting StopSo.
I recently had a 14-year-old girl who emailed me saying, I don't know what to do, I feel suicidal, I'm a paedophile. So I engaged in a conversation with her via email, and it transpires that she's very attracted to children who are between 2 and 8 years old. And she's not been able to tell her mother. And because of the way society talks about this and treats them all as monsters, it makes it very hard for young people to come forward. And we have an online questionnaire that says for sex offenders, at what age did you first know you had a problem with your thinking or your attraction? And 51% of them know by the time they're 16 years old.
Some of them are monstrous, aren't they? Not monsters, but monstrous.
Some people, yeah. I mean, there are people who will not be able to be changed and who think that it's okay for them to have sex with children. And clearly, that's just impossible to deal with. It's you know, that's very, very difficult. But what we have to bear in mind is that the vast majority of them aren't in that camp. The vast majority of them are people who are wanting... No, they, you know, because of all the public awareness that's been around this now, with all the cases in the papers on an almost daily basis, they're really getting the message, this is not socially acceptable, and they're recognising that, and they're asking for help to stop. So the ones that want help to stop, surely we as a society should be providing that. And Stop So is an organisation that can do that.
I'm just trying to imagine how a parent, any parent, would respond if their 14-year-old said to them, "Mum, I think I need help. I think I'm a paedophile."
I know.
Whether that was a boy or a girl. Yeah. I mean, that would be an absolutely horrific thing to hear from your child.
Absolutely. Deeply shocking.
And about, you know, about knowing what to do with that. Yeah. You know, you go, do you go to your GP and say, "My child's a paedophile?" Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about what people would do.
Yeah. And if they go to their GP, often the GP doesn't know where to refer them or what they can do to help them. There aren't many services available in the NHS.
Well, I was reading this morning about a clinic in Germany, an approach in Germany that seems to be yielding some success in terms of the numbers that it treats. But what about the outcomes for those numbers? Is it successful? Is it working? Is it stopping children from being abused?
The research would show that when people get therapy, and this is based on research that's in prisons and people who've already offended, 26.3% will not offend again. So that, I think that the approach Stop So has, where we're working with people earlier in the process, often before they've offended, sometimes after they've offended, and giving them tailored therapy, which is exactly what they need, as opposed to a group treatment program, which is just like kind of a mass-produced thing. I think it's going to be more effective, and we're at the moment doing evaluation studies to check that out.
What about sexual offender treatment programs in prisons? Very controversial as to how effective they are, how deceitful people on those courses can sometimes be in order to get parole, and all of those kinds of stories. What evidence is it that they are effective?
Well, I think the recent evidence that's come out is that they're not that effective. And the recommendations are all saying that people need more individualised treatment programmes.
Up to and including chemical castration.
Yeah, but that only works when people are willing to take it. So we do get people at Stop So saying, can you put me in touch with a psychiatrist who will prescribe for me, and then we can do it, and that's great. But the side effects
of it... Is it great?
Well, it's great, because if they want a solution, and that's a solution that works for them, then yes, give them that solution.
But if with chemical castration, it seems to me, if you have somebody who has no aggression, no sense of harm in them, no desire to hurt, no appetite to hurt someone, you could see that that person, a kind, considerate person, who happens to have these sexual attractions, would perhaps go for that and think, that will work for me. It will take away that sexual attraction, that any sexual appetite. My thoughts won't be about sex. I can see how that might work. But chemical castration can't take away criminality, can it? That sense that actually it doesn't matter if paedophilia is in the mind of a person who's also a sociopath or a psychopath,
sure,
or just aggressive and doesn't care about anybody. It's one part of the picture of criminality, isn't it?
But that's what I was saying, that if they want it and it's prescribed, then that can work and that can be good. However, most people who are going to be prescribed it won't want it, and then they're not going to take it on a regular basis. So I'm not saying it's a solution for people en masse, but for the people who really want it, then they should have it available.
And how much take-up is that? Do we know how...
We've only had a few people asking us for that. It's a very radical solution. The side effects are quite strong, and so it doesn't suit many people.
How far off do you think we are from the vision you have of how we approach paedophilia within our communities, conversationally, in terms of treatment, in terms of how and when we involve the law, when we don't involve the law?
I think one of the big things that, you know, a long way is the first thing to answer to say that. And the other thing is that actually society needs to understand that a paedophile is not the same as a child molester. So a paedophile is someone who has a sexual attraction to children, primary or exclusive sexual attraction to children. And in fact, a paedophile is someone who has an attraction to children under 11, prepubescent children. So there are hebephiles and there are different chronophilias, they call them, different ages that people are attracted to. But someone can have the attraction and never ever act on it. And then you have people who are child molesters. And they're people who touch children, and that may be because they're attracted to children, or it could be a completely different reason. It could be an uncle and a niece, and she happens to be available, and his wife is not available. Those kinds of stories we hear a lot. It could be...
Hang on a sec. That sounds... I know what you're saying. It's somebody, let's say a man for the sake of argument, it's a man who just wants to get his kicks, and whoever is available to allow him to get his kicks, so be it. Yeah, I think in layman's terms that's what you're saying. But for a lot of people listening, that will sound like a sort of semantics. You know, if you're a grown man and you attempt to... touch sexually intimately or have sex with a 12, 13, 14-year-old. That's a paedophile to a lot of people.
It is a paedophile to a lot of people, but the reason why I think this is important is that we have to make it socially acceptable for someone who has an attraction to children to say, I have an attraction to children, I'm 16 or I'm 60.
It doesn't mean I'm a child molester.
And it doesn't mean I'm a child molester. And when people begin to, when the society begins to accept that and doesn't demonise them all, it's going to be easier for your 16-year-old son to come forward and say, Mum, I'm a paedophile, I'm attracted to children, I don't ever want to act on that. And we have to make this separation. We have to make it clear that not everybody who has the attraction is going to act on it. And at StopSo, we have about 20% of people who are coming to us for ongoing support, who are very clear they're never going to act on their attraction to children. And we have to make it safe enough for those people to come forward for help. And in order to do that, we have to somehow change this label of paedophilia to be what the clinical definition is, which is someone who's sexually attracted but may never have acted on it. They may have acted on it, but they may never have acted on it.
The sensual attraction to children we all have, don't we? It's what makes us love them.
Absolutely.
And care for them and snuggle them and all that. That's quite a big deal, isn't it, to say it's for you, it's more than that. Where do you start with a 14-year-old saying I'm a paedophile? It's a big thing, isn't it, to conclude at that age that you're anything.
Where I started was to find out who she was attracted to, what age group she was attracted to, and I was, to be honest, shocked when she said 2 to 8-year-olds. And then I asked her about her own history, and she had been molested when she was 7, and so she had a trauma in her own history. And it's so common that that has happened, that people who've had a trauma... Not everyone who has a trauma will become a paedophile, but many paedophiles have had some kind of trauma, either sexual or violent, in their own history, and often around the age of 7 or 8.
So they're revisiting it in some way?
Sometimes it's a revisiting. Sometimes it's just that the trauma seems to have blown open as sort of another possibility. And the reason why StopSo really feels that what we're doing works is because when you heal that trauma, their attraction moves back to adults. And the inner turmoil that they've been living with somehow gets quieter. And so therapy can really make a difference in healing that trauma.
So you're describing a kind of reforming of the brain there, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what therapy does. That's what therapy does. It helps people to live more comfortable, happier, pro-social lives.
And if a programme of treatment along the lines you're describing, of access really rather than treatment, was rolled out, how costly would that be?
For £250,000, we can not only run our programme for next year, but also subsidise the 20% of people who are asking us for help and cannot afford to pay for it. Just imagine how challenging it is for our staff to turn, when someone rings up and says, I need help, I'm on the dole, I'm unemployed, to say, I'm sorry, we don't have a therapist who can help you. Because everyone who comes to StopSo pays for their own therapy. That's how motivated they are. It costs £65,000 to put one person in prison for a year if you include the police costs and the court costs.
So you're telling me it's cheap?
So it's very cheap. If we keep on with the current number of people, we'll be helping about 920 people next year, for the cost of less than putting 4 people in prison.
That was Juliet Grayson, the chair of Stop So. If you are affected by anything you heard in that interview and you want to contact Stop So, they are at Stop So, which is spelled as it sounds, S-T-O-P-S-O, stopso.org.uk. You've tweeted on this already. Jackie says, yes, more openness. As regards to the child abuser, we do need to be more open, I dare say. We need to out the dark side of the human mind. Wherever it lurks, we need to understand by asking questions, says Jackie. So Jackie would be in favour of more treatment. It sounds to me, I hope I'm interpreting your text correctly, Jackie, it would be in favour of more therapeutic, a more therapeutic approach in many cases. And it's interesting that the interim report from the Independent Child Sexual Abuse Inquiry, it says that the children and young people who they've taken evidence from say that sexual abuse isn't discussed often enough, not openly enough, and they need better practical advice on staying safe, which I think harks back to what Simon Bailey was saying to us when I spoke to him on Monday, the Chief Constable of Norfolk Police, saying we have to increase resilience in children, especially, but not exclusively, especially when it comes to online images and online abuse of children. Do call if you want to talk about that. Loads of calls still coming in on what our immigration policy should look like, what our immigration system should look like, and whether you're in favour of some kind of amnesty for some undocumented people. But if you want to comment on that whole question of whether paedophiles should be treated therapeutically more than punitively, especially those that haven't offended, do give me a call, 0345 6060 973. It is 2:51 now.